from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Def Leppard Monday night at Friendly Fenway, and Wiggy, of course, has a one-person boycott going on on New Journey.
And I hate it, because Journey has so many bangers. Like, if Journey was there, if Steve Perry Journey was there, I would have been there all night.
Just close your eyes.
Can't do it, man.
That's all you have to do.
No, it feels like...
You'll think it's Steve Perry. It's very simple.
I feel like... It feels like you're cheating or something.
No, you're not cheating.
Yes,
No, you're not cheating on
I feel like I'm not being, you know...
Why, though? They're still touring.
Yeah, but it's not like... It's not Steve Perry Journey.
There is a Taylor Swift impersonator performing at Canobie Lake Park right now. I may go see her, because she looks pretty talented. She looks very talented.
You're not driving to New Hampshire to see a Taylor Swift impersonator, are you?
I might.
No.
You're obsessed. That's a sickness.
I want to support her. She seems like, I mean, she really puts on a show.
Well, but see,
sure, and the backup dancers, too. Sure,
but Taylor Swift's still alive. Like, so you can go and see an actual Taylor Swift concert. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Steve Perry, obviously, he's still alive and great, and, you know, hopefully he's in great health. Love the man. I feel like as a fan of his... I am turning my back on him.
A lot of people agree with you. Like, I'm looking at the Twitch chat, and U.S. Marine Corps 1990 says, I've said it before, but I feel the same way as Wiggy on this. It's actually cheating.
Greg, you
did Jackson get a winner, by the way? Jackson, did you get a winner?
No, you have to do the read first.
Well, I told people to call when they heard the song.
Yeah, we still have to do the read. That's why I told
know.
You
what are you talking about?
This one has a sponsor to it. It has to be read.
I know. But what does that have to do with getting the winner?
Because I told him to wait to open the phone lines until you did the read.
Did I not say that when you heard Journey be the ninth caller?
That's why I said when we come back right away, do the read.
That's not how the contest works.
Oh, gosh.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why you're getting all aggressive.
I'm not getting aggressive.
Yes, you are. You were just very aggressive.
I'm not aggressive at all.
You have to do the read first.
No, you asked why. I was defending
the idea.
I didn't want him to get
when we say, when you hear Journey be the ninth caller, you then have to take the ninth caller. Then the person does the read, which involves the sponsor, as they are congratulating the winner.
Well, that's some good radio
insight. You worked in radio a lot longer than me. I'm just... Yes. I don't know why you're getting so mad at me.
You were so wildly aggressive there.
I wasn't aggressive at
all,
Greg.
Yes, you were.
Zero aggression from me.
Yes, I replay your audio.
I will. There's zero aggression from me. I'm speaking the same way I always speak.
Replay your audio.
Oh, gosh.
You went into slim shiny mode immediately.
No, if I was in slim shiny mode, I would have made some bad joke. Like, it's not...
That was pulling back the curtain.
Yeah.
Courtney, I just...
And he gave you so many compliments today, Shine.
I know. Did I not?
Yeah.
It was very encouraging.
It was maybe one compliment too many.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I think you may have gone overboard.
Yes. Courtney, tomorrow, just while this is our safe space, pretzel sticks look good at the Tipsy Seagull. They also have a buffalo chicken dip that looks lovely.
Oh, I'm very excited for both of those.
I love a good buffalo chicken dip.
Love a
Me
good
too.
But, what do you? But not the chips in it. I prefer bread.
See, you like the
really?
Pita bread?
Yes, I like pita.
I don't mind the pita bread. I'll take the chips. I'll
I don't
dip
mind
whatever
it, but
it
the
is.
Chips, I think, are better.
Like what?
More of a crunch than a pita bread.
Like a nacho chip?
A nacho chip, or I once brought in those dippers from Trader Joe's. I
corn
think are delicious.
Dippers, phenomenal. The corn dippers.
Yeah. Listen, if it's buffalo chicken dip, it doesn't matter. I put my hand there and scoop it up. But I just wanted to, I was going to say this about the journey thing, and I was going to ask you, because you're a huge Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Fan, right?
So would I go see if the E Street Band was without Bruce? Yeah. No,
with
I wouldn't.
A guy who sounded
no, you're
like
right.
Bruce.
No, you're right. I wouldn't.
Right, yeah. And that's how I feel about the Journey.
Yeah,
he sounds like Bruce, but it's not Bruce.
All right, did Jackson get a winner yet? It seems very difficult to organize.
Yeah,
does he have a winner? Okay, there's Steve. Hold on, Steve. I think Steve. Hello.
Hello, Greg, what's up?
Steve, congratulations. You have won tickets to go see Journey and Def Leppard on Monday night. And those tickets are thanks to Shaw's and Star Market perfecting the art of fresh. All right?
Good job right there.
Organic.
Any concern about going because it will be cheating on Steve Perry?
No, I hear Wiggy's complaints all the time, but no issues whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Very good. Hang on. And we have, I believe, another pair of tickets to give away this morning for Metallica, which we'll do before the show ends, if that's okay, with Wolfman Jack over there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was fine.
Is that okay?
Hey,
I may conduct the giveaway the way I want to, if that's okay.
Hey, Greg, I've only ever done a giveaway one way on this show, so you want to do it on this station? So you want to do it your way, you do it your way. Your name's on the show.
Oh, I want to go under the chair.
So the purpose...
I just don't want to get yelled at.
So the purpose of Greg saying... Hey, be the ninth caller
when you hear the Journey song. What do you think it was?
Keeps you around.
Huh?
Keeps you around.
Yeah.
For...
You think it might keep people listening for the song?
Well, yeah. Huh? That's I understand. That's the point of doing that instead of teasing the time.
I mean,
but there's
yeah.
still a read that needs to get done.
That's how you do it. It's mother's milk.
Yeah.
There you go.
And we never even really got to the read, and we still got a caller.
Right.
So what well, we should have gotten it the first time.
Correct.
Yeah,
because it keeps the listener around saying, "Oh, I want to go see." So I don't know when Journey's coming up, but I gotta be listening. Oh, I heard Journey ninth caller.
Yes, Wiggy.
Then you get the winner, and then you tie in the.
That's how you do it.
Sponsorship.
You throw the sponsor in right at the end. They love it. Mm-hmm. That's where they want to be. Mm-hmm. They want to be there for the giveaway, not the pimp before it.
Preach.
Am I right?
You're right.
Sounds like
now
you're
we
right.
know. Now we know. Jeez.
Chimes that one kid in the class that says, "Nah, teacher, you're not right."
I literally didn't say he wasn't right.
Also, Curtis, when you give the weather, please don't give the current temperature. That is outdated.
Hey, you guys aren't the ones that, or at least not Greg, yes, but the other ones aren't the ones that have to go have conversations with Ken after shows and stuff. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I'm just trying to do my job. That's all.
No, Ken's in this.
Just trying to do my job.
This is what you just say yes, Ken, no problem, and then do what you want to do.
Right. Oh, see, Greg, I'm that. Too. I like Ken. I don't want to make him mad at me.
But just, he'll be fine.
Now you're
his
lying.
Bosses, that's exactly what I would
say,
have done.
Just say, Ken, you know what? You're right. Appreciate it. Might have made a mistake there. Boom. And go back to doing whatever you want to do.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I don't like always having to apologize, Greg. You know, just trying to be a good employee. That's all.
Oh, my.
Trying to do my job. As Bill Belichick always told us.
All right. So coming up. As long as it's okay with Dave Maynard, we will talk to...
I don't get that reference. Nice one.
we will talk to Matt Ryan, who is at Fenway Park for the 10th anniversary of the Ice Bucket
Challenge.
Can
I ask a question, Greg? Because I know my limitations, which are vast. What is the best comeback song that we could play where Matt might not get it, but it would be funny for the audience?
We could play something from the Atlanta rhythm section, perhaps.
Love it.
Wiggy would probably like that. Come Back by the Jay Giles Band. What about that?
Love it. Boston-based, I believe.
Yes, we could do that. I mean, I'm sure Matt Ryan at this point is okay with talking about what happened.
I think he's okay with talking about it.
You don't think he is?
Over it. Yeah.
It's been years.
That keeps him up at night.
If you were Matt Ryan, would you ever be able to go a day without thinking about that?
No. You know how many Raiders guys I bump into? You know how many Raiders players, former players that I bump into?
And they're still thinking about the snowball?
Oh, yes.
Where do you bump into them?
Just like out and about.
In Boston?
No, not in Boston.
That's when he's out and about.
Yeah, like if I'm...
When he's for them streets.
Yeah, if I'm in Atlanta or something, there's a lot of players that live in Atlanta.
I mean, I guess probably it's still... I mean, it's frustrating, but he had an illustrious career. I mean, but that...
Right, but you never forget that. What did Brady always say? The losses stick with you longer than the wins or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you never forget that. And that's a game that everybody and their mama watching that game going... How the hell did Atlanta lose that?
I mean,
it was the Super Bowl.
I'm guessing that Arthur Blank probably doesn't walk down on the sidelines prior to the end of regulation at this or overtime at this point. I mean, he probably thinks about it.
That's
is he
sting.
The best BC athlete, Courtney, all
Matt
time?
Ryan ever?
Yeah.
Ooh. What about Doug Flutie?
No.
I mean, I think Luke Kuechly's up there. I think his career was cut short
because of
concussions. Uh-huh. Like, if he was healthy, I think Luke Kuechly would have been.
I mean, I guess maybe football wise, Luke Kuechly's the best defensive player. Matt Ryan's the best offensive player. I don't know.
Well, how many? I guess the question.
Brian Jonta.
I guess the question is how many former BC Eagles, football, basketball, other sports, because Matt Ryan, we believe, will be a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Could be.
So you would put it into those terms, like how many of those guys are Hall of Famers?
We don't. Speaking of former Raiders, we don't take ownership of Romanowski anymore.
Zay Flowers will be somebody who talk about.
Are there Hall of Famers right now that like you think are like BC Eagle players that are like huge?
I don't think there's any BC football player in the Hall of Fame. Hockey, probably somebody. Yeah. But best basketball player, Troy Bell.
Yeah, but you got to look at what was his
Billy
career.
Curley.
Yeah, well, but what was their careers like? Their careers weren't like Matt Ryan's.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's probably the best, most decorated BC athlete.
Right, because he was good in college. Did he win a Heisman?
No, he should have.
Right, good in college, and it looks like he's going to be a Hall of Famer for the National Football League. So I guess if you look at it, that's why I asked how many former BC Eagles are in sports Hall of Fames that you could be like, oh, he was really good.
I mean, Yuka Agbay, he was a baller. But yeah,
Reggie Jackson.
The real Reggie Jackson went to BC, tell you that.
The baseball player?
No. Basketball.
Well, you said the real Reggie.
Justin Simmons.
Ninko says, I just got a text from Ninko saying we should do Joe Esposito. You're the best. From Karate Kid.
I love it.
As a rejoin for Matt Ryan. So maybe we can. All right. Well, Matt Ryan will join us soon. Right now, Courtney and what is trending this hour.
Gresh and Fourier. Weekdays 10 to 2. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Sox take the final game in 10 innings and the series against the Mariners. Last night, score 3-2. Brian Baio went 6 1/3, giving up 2 runs on 7 hits while striking out 7. The boys are off tonight before heading to Texas to take on the Rangers tomorrow. Devon Godchow got his deal done. The Pats and Godchow agreed to a 2-year contract extension worth up to $21 million. The deal includes $16.5 million guaranteed. We are still waiting on Matt Judon. The USA men's basketball team took care of South Sudan yesterday with Jason Tatum taking the court as a starter. Final score 103-84. Tatum scored 4 points, adding 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block in the win. Medal count this morning. The U.S. still leads overall medals with 31, while China leads gold with 11. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It will shortly be 80 degrees. Is that okay, Shine?
I have no comment.
The high this afternoon is 91.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are awaiting Matt Ryan's arrival at Fenway Park, and then he will join us on the show. I'm sure the trip from Logan this morning was a pure delight for Matt Ryan.
Yeah. He doesn't realize that the Subner's closed.
So he will be with us momentarily. And then tomorrow, a Flex Friday on this show, we will be at the Tipsy Seagull in Fall River starting at 6. And full show tomorrow. Guest leads maybe Curtis tomorrow.
Love it. And well, let's ask Scheim.
Yeah, Scheim, I'm sure, will say that's okay.
I'll allow it.
We'll have him run that by Ken. And we will be on the South Coast for the first time, I think, officially on this radio show. This is Pat from Franklin. Hello, Pat.
Greggy, how you doing, bud?
What's up?
So not only is Matt Ryan a great guy, he's also a matchmaker. After they lost their 2012 playoff game to the Giants, I literally walk into STK in Atlanta.
Yes.
Hang out with Matt and his wife. I turn, and I see this beautiful blonde lady. Long story short, she's now my wife. 12 years married, 2 kids. He's my favorite quarterback.
So,
and I'm not even a Falcons fan.
He was your wingman, is what you're saying, is that Matt Ryan.
Oh, he was awesome. Him and Sarah are awesome. They're so nice. They're real people. And I'm a Villanova grad, so I'm not a big partial to BC people, but Courtney, you're awesome. Matt Ryan, awesome.
Thank you, Pat.
But Matt Ryan, my favorite, after Tom Brady, he's my wife's second favorite quarterback.
Fantastic.
It's a pretty good wingman to have.
Yeah, great wingman. Right, yeah. And what a cool story to have that forever.
And I just looked this up. I thought Gerard Mayo was taken 7 spots after. They were in the same draft.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Same draft.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was taken after both the Howie Long kids, Chris and Matt Long, went 1 and 2.
But
Chris and Jake Long. Sorry.
It's so interesting that Matt Ryan and Drake May, basically, their story's like the same. You know, when you kind of think about third overall pick, going to a team with a new coach. Because when Matt Ryan got to Atlanta, it was Mike Smith who had just become the head coach. A team that had only won 4 games, and this is the future. And what are we doing here? We're like, all right, let's sit the future on the bench. So I'm so, like, I can't wait till we talk to him, because I try to tell you all the time how important live reps to just players are. But to hear it from a quarterback who actually lived it and done it, you know, how it helped him, or would he have wanted to learn? But I think at the time it might have been Chris Redmond who was the quarterback on that team.
I'm so excited about this, because one of my favorite interviews I ever did for NESN was with Matt Ryan at a BC football game, and I was just so excited to get it and to be able to talk to him. And Pat's right. He is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth guys. To have a career like he did and to be so humble and very wholesome is very, very cool.
Where's he from?
Well, you're worried about reps. I think it was Volan that tweeted yesterday that Drake maybe is not even the second-best quarterback or has not been the second-best quarterback on the field.
I saw that. I was like,
Joe Milton looking pretty good, according to Ben Volan.
Saying that he's out playing him.
We're going to take Ben Volan's word?
I don't know, Sean. I mean, have you been there?
No, but Andrew Callahan says the complete opposite. So somebody I would trust more than Ben Volan, who gets duped by people pretending to be in the building.
Hey, we've all been there.
Fair. Yeah, we've all been Eric Shun.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Still.
I will
Charlie Weiss, then Greg, now Ben Volan. I mean,
that, you know. When the opportunity presents itself.
So
Courtney,
you don't think it's accurate that Joe Milton has outplayed Drake May?
No.
So far.
And I forget, when did Scheim predict that Drake May would be losing the quarterback battle all summer?
Wow.
He didn't predict that.
Right?
I mean, we'll see what happens on opening day, Curtis. It's been 2 days of padded practice. Good job.
Right. Shime, just like I don't give the weather now because you want me to tell you what's going to happen down the line, I'm telling you that now is all we have to go by. Mm. And at no point in the draft conversation or in the spring after OTAs did you say that it was likely that Drake May would not even be in a competition for the starting job.
Curtis, it's been two effing days.
Greg,
Fourier said on the show yesterday. Fourier said on the show yesterday he's thrown 22 meaningful passes.
Okay. And Fourier also told me and Wiggy that Jacoby Brissett is 10 times better than Drake May watching him out there, that he is more of a leader, that Drake's been learning a lot from him, that Jacoby knows everything way more than Drake May.
Yeah, because Jacoby's been in the league for what, like 8 years?
I mean, take it. As you want from Ben Volen, but he said that Milton was the guy with the best size, best athleticism, and biggest arm.
Wow.
Greg, it's your show. You run this place.
Yes.
Can we stipulate that it's been a short amount of time? Do we have to say that? We all know it's been a short amount of time. We all know the training camp just started.
But then you can't go back and say, oh, Shime never said once that he'd be losing a battle after 2 days of practice, Curtis. Of course I never said that.
Football starts tonight, right?
Yes, we got a
Hall of Fame game.
Okay, I believe they have 9 more training camp practices.
Yeah, it's almost over.
So they're over a third of the way through this training camp.
Okay.
So it's not like it just began. I mean, it's not a long period. And at no point did you tell me it would be not even a competition between a mediocre starter and Jacoby Brissett and Drake May.
Why would I ever say that, Curtis? What would ever make me say that? That I would think, a week in, yeah, Drake May is not going to be in a competition. But don't worry.
You love predicting things. It's like your favorite pastime.
We have until the beginning of September to find out if he's actually going to compete for this.
You trust Andy Hart?
Sometimes.
Huh?
Sometimes. Me and Hart go back and forth.
Okay. He has not been very positive about how Drake May has
looked. Yeah, he's down.
Sure. Okay. It's been 2 days.
But who would have ever thought?
I wonder if Pudge is alive.
It's also been 2 days for Joe Milton. Then.
Right. Greg.
Yeah, Joe Milton throws the ball far and he does backflips. That's
Greg,
cool. That's fun. That's exciting.
Greg, who would have ever thought that we're living in a world where people are like the guy who wore 10... before this guy might be better. I haven't seen Drake May one bit. I haven't been to a practice. All I can go on is what people that go every day that are down there talking about and saying this. I just got a text from someone
who's there every day that says, Joe Milton is a lot of flash and hype, but he has not been the best quarterback out there. Come on now.
And see, this is why.
That's Gresh.
No, it wasn't Gresh.
Gresh hates Drake May.
What time is it,
Greg? This is why.
9:32, 10 seconds in.
This is why I put this on Mayo's lap, because you think we'd be having these conversations if Mayo was like, "All right, Drake May's our guy, and this is who we're like in Chicago."
So if coming into camp, he said Drake May's our guy, he's got the number one job. This wouldn't happen.
No, because
people see it in the prism of thinking that. I think people are pretty accurate, whether it's Bedard or
No. I'm just saying.
I think they are expressing their opinion on what he looks like.
And just on that, Greg, the last 3 years, what we have been told, there has been big fan displeasure with, whether it was the offense with Patricia and Judge. Remember that every day they can't even get a play in, and people kept saying, "Wait till the season, they'll be okay." They weren't. The year before that, when it was Cam Newton versus Mac Jones, or 2 years before that, everybody said Mac was outplaying Cam Newton, yet we were all shocked. It happened right after our show when they cut Cam. Remember that? We got that news. So the people that have been there have been relatively accurate in what they've said about the offense the last several years.
Greg, I'm not even talking about the people watching him. I'm just saying the opinions that we would have on Drake May, it would be completely different, because it would be no different than what's going on Caleb Williams in Chicago or what's going on with Jaden Daniels in Washington. We would be like, oh, give him some time.
Right, because you know he's going to be the starter week one anyway.
Right,
so.
he's going through growing pains.
They're installing a new offense. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't explain the Joe Milton thing unless they don't have him in those – in that offensive situation.
Well, he would be in the same offense. And this is why I put it on Mayo, because if he just says Drake May's the guy, he's getting all the reps with the ones. So when he does flash with the ones, which he would have a good couple good plays here and there, even if he's performing badly, people are going to be like, oh, he's still young. Give him time. Now it's like...
So this is a disservice to him in your eyes, because you have no idea what you have.
Now he went from Drake May to Drake Maybe, and people are actually saying, like, and I'm not saying a lot of people, but this guy stinks, it's a bust.
I haven't heard stinks, but
like,
he's struggling. Yes, he's struggling.
People were saying, I don't know who said it, they called him the ghost of Mac Jones.
That was Michael Hawley.
That means he stinks.
Yeah, like, we haven't even seen him play in a preseason game, which is at least like a step up from training camp practice.
Okay,
like,
Chime, you talked about a draft.
Yes,
for
Curtis,
months.
I trust what I watched in college and the tape that I watched far more than two padded practices. Yeah,
right.
Yes,
I'm not.
Correct.
I wasn't done. I'm saying that we made guesses about a draft and then we react to it in the absence of any practice for months. Right? We talked about who won, who lost, what they should have done, what they shouldn't have done.
Yes, you based on what we saw over their entire careers in college.
Right. So now we're just reacting to what we have. Obviously, it's a small sample size.
Yeah, and I'm telling you that it's a small sample size. That's the whole thing.
Sean, like, stating the obvious is a waste of the audience's time.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Want me to rephrase that?
No, Curtis. I'm not a freaking moron. I understand what the words mean.
Is anybody
just because you think you're so much smarter than everybody else doesn't mean you need to talk down to everyone?
Your insecurity is not my problem.
Not my insecurities. I'm tired of you acting like you're holier than thou and you think you're so much smarter.
Anybody,
like, we all understand your words.
Anybody?
We all speak English here. Sometimes
sometimes you don't do it very well. But
I
don't
disagree.
I would say very simply. Does anybody wonder how many practices or how long Drake May has been with the New England Patriots? Is anybody surprised to learn that it's early in his career?
No, we understand that.
We are comparing him to Mac Jones at the same spot of his training camp.
Yep.
Something that you did daily on the Midday Show, ripping Mac Jones.
Yeah, but can't for that exact point. Shime is being criticized for saying we don't have enough
body of work
to be able to judge Drake May. Uh-huh. When a lot of people were saying we don't have enough body of work for Mac Jones after two seasons.
Right. But see,
let me do this.
A bit different.
Because this will make me feel less anxious about everybody fighting. We'll take a quick break. So we have plenty of time with Matt Ryan, who is arriving at Fenway Park right now. So we'll be back with Matt Ryan next. Joining us now from the WEEI studio at Fenway Park, where he is participating in the 10th year celebration of the Ice Bucket Challenge, it is Matt Ryan. Matt, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, guys. I like that little intro, too. The cold as ice.
Yes,
was perfect.
Sir. Matty Ice, how was the trip over from Logan? Did it take 4 hours?
Not good. It's not good, guys. All this construction they've done for the last quarter of a century hasn't figured out how to get you back into the city in an easy fashion.
Well, you got a couple Eagles on the show in Curtis and Courtney and, of course, the great Jermaine Wiggins. And I think Wiggy wants to start this morning.
Yeah, Matt, my question is, and I think you're the perfect person to answer this, because we've been arguing about Drake May, and your situations are similar. Third overall pick, coming to a team that had only won 4 games, new coach. How important, and I talk about live reps, and Drake May's not getting many with the ones. How important was it for you to be able to get thrown in there with the ones and kind of basically learn on the job, where it seems like Drake May is sitting in the back waiting? I guess maybe take us down that road a little bit.
Yeah, I think every situation is different. But speaking from my own personal experience, you know, this is like the hot topic right now. Should we sit quarterbacks and let them develop, or go let them play and kind of figure it out on their own? I thought there was tremendous value to being thrown right into it and kind of figuring it out as you go. And I feel like most of my progression, you know, during training camp, heading into that first season was I mean, it was massive day to day, right? The things you were learning, the looks you were seeing, just the amount of reps I was getting. I thought that was huge for my growth and development. And then really, you know, even through that first half of the season, first three quarters of the season, my rookie year, you know, I was getting better week to week. And so I thought there was tremendous value to it. I think you could argue both sides of it for sure. I'm excited, though. I'm going out to check out practice tomorrow over in Foxborough and take a look. And so, you know, I'm excited to see it, you know, in person and what he can do. And just on top of that, all of the changes that are going on with the organization as well, for the first time in, you know, a quarter of a century that they've got all of the changes that they've had. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm a believer that you should play young guys. I think with the current climate of how contracts are set up and the salary cap, you know, you've got this 4 or 5 year window where essentially if you draft a young quarterback and you feel like he can play, you're playing with him for free. And so yeah. I think there's a ton of value to that. And I think, you know, you want to get as much experience for him as possible. And I think live reps are the best way to do it.
Speaking of the changes here, did it surprise you that Arthur Blank passed on Bill Belichick?
Well, I mean, when you think about the success Bill has had, I think anybody passing on him, right, is surprising. I think that when you consider where Atlanta is at and what they want to do and kind of, you know, they've got their own quarterback, you know, situation as well with them signing Kirk Cousins and then drafting, you know, Michael Penix. I think they're, you know, they're really looking long term and trying to get stability in that organization, you know, for the next decade plus. And I think, you know, considering all of that, I wasn't necessarily shocked that they went in a direction with a younger coach.
Which do you think he will regret more, that decision or maybe a premature celebration on the sideline during a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think probably the premature celebration. We all could have used that game to end just a little bit sooner.
Wiggy was saying he thinks that you. I was saying you probably don't think about that game. Wiggy says he thinks you think about it every day. I don't.
Oh yeah. I mean, I lost the Carol. I mean, I was in Carolina when we lost the Super Bowl 38, and I think about that. And being up 28-3, that's completely different. It's like, oh yeah, this is odds in hand. So I know he's.
Do you still think about it?
Yeah. I mean, I come on anytime I'm in New England, I'm reminded of it. So I think about it more often when I'm up here, for sure. But it definitely is. I mean, I think as a player, right, you have all of you know, these memories, and for me, it's always the tough ones that you remember. The good times, you know, you kind of celebrate them and move on. But the hard ones are the ones that last. And so, you know, it's tough as part of the deal, part of. You know, playing in the most competitive environment in the world, and certainly disappointing. I'm not sure I'm completely over it, but we'll get there hopefully someday.
Yeah.
Matt, there were rumors that the Falcons were all in on Bill, and then the Crafts reached out to them and maybe blackballed Bill, for lack of a better term. Do you have any inside scoop on if they were in on him and what may have conspired behind closed doors?
I don't have anything, you know, more than you guys, right? You know, I know there was interest. I know there was multiple interviews, and they certainly considered it. I don't know anything about, you know, the conversations with Mr. Kraft or anything like that. But I think ultimately the decision for the organization, at least how I understand it, is, you know, that they felt like they wanted to try and create, you know, a sustainable situation for the next decade plus, and they feel like they've done that with Raheem Morris.
Matt, I know we've been talking about the Falcons and everything, and you're in town for maybe the greatest Eagle, Pete Frady's. BC football looks like it has a optimistic future with Bill O'Brien taking over. Have you spoken with Billy, and what are your thoughts on the hire for Boston College football?
Well, I love it, and I have. I was up for practice during the spring and got to speak with the team and kind of sit in meetings and talk with Bill. And I'm optimistic, too. I think, you know, Boston College is – listen, the landscape of college football has changed so much since I played at BC. And it's a different environment that you're competing in. But I've always felt like BC – is a unique place, and it requires people that know how it operates. And I think Bill, being from the area, St. John's Prep, you know, alum and a guy that knows this area, wants to be here, wants to be in this area. I think it's huge. And then you look at, you know, his track record as a coach, right? And where he's been, the stops along the way, whether it's, you know, his time spent in New England in the NFL, whether it's his time as a head coach in major college football at Penn State or in the NFL with Houston, and time spent at Alabama. I think all of these things, you know, seeing it, you know, done different ways is really going to benefit him. And I think his tie to the area, his ability to recruit this area, keep, you know, the best players in New England, keep them here in New England, and then go, you know, find a way, like they did with me, to find kids from Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Ohio. That was kind of always the blueprint for our success at BC, and I think Bill's going to get back to that.
Are you, when you're at the age you're at, I'm at the age I'm at, which is 57, you look at Aaron Rodgers, are you surprised that he's still doing it?
I'm not surprised, you know, knowing what kind of player he is and just, I think a lot of times the narrative gets skewed with him, right? But he takes such incredible care of his body, of his mind. I mean, he does it his way for sure, but he's found a way to do it that works for him, and it doesn't surprise me. I played against that guy enough to never discount or never count him out, and so there are mornings where I wake up. I'm only 39, not 57, but you know,
oh,
there are
me.
Mornings I wake up and I'm like, man, I can't believe he is still doing it. But it's definitely impressive. I'm like anybody. I mean, you know, excited to see what this Jets team is going to be. I mean, you guys know it, being in the AFC East. It's going to be interesting. That defense was really good last year. The offense was inept, but I think when you add Aaron to the mix and what he can do, I think that's a scary team in the AFC East.
You made a successful transition to television with CBS. How do you think Tom Brady will do?
I think Tom will do great. I really do. I think, you know, given his knowledge, which is second to none, I mean, he's got incredible insight. I also think he's a guy that whatever it is he's going to do, he's going to put his complete effort behind it, and he's going to be incredibly well prepared. And so, like everybody else, I'm looking forward to kind of hearing, you know, what he has to say, how he's going to commentate games. I think he's going to learn a ton, you know, in that first year. I think, you know, myself doing it last year, calling games, the growth from the beginning of the year to the end of the year is significant. Really learning the technical side of it, to me, was the hardest part, right? And kind of figuring out how to get in and out, listen to the producer, understand camera angles, what plays well for viewers with different camera angles, and really learning how to drive that, to me, is the key, you know, as a color guy. And I think he'll pick that up quickly, but I think his insight will be awesome.
Players who do it sometimes say the hardest part for them was criticizing other guys. Was that hard for you?
I mean, I think there's a way to be critical without being malicious. You know, like, I often viewed it the same way I would view watching my own game tape, right? There's certain stuff that, you know, there are plays you should have made. And so I kind of viewed it that exact same way of, if I would critique myself this way, I'm comfortable critiquing, you know, someone else. I also think that it comes down to a level of preparation. Like, I'm not a massive fan of just making a hot take, you know, without having watched a ton of the film and what they're doing during the season, and talk to them about some of the things. I think all of those things make it, you know, a little bit more easy to be critical when you need to be.
Speaking of guys joining TV, you surprised Bill Belichick is going to be on TV with Pat McAfee and with this Underdog Network this fall.
Yeah, I think given how he was for so long, I think it's going to be fascinating to see kind of the other side of him. And that's part of it, right? Whether you're a head coach or you're a quarterback, you know, when you're on the other side of the microphone, right, answering the questions, you've got to protect the organization. You've got to protect your teammates, your staff. You've got to be able to do those things. And Bill did it his way. But I think being able to get into the behind the scenes with Bill, right, what he was like in the locker room with those guys in team meetings, I think that's going to be fascinating to watch. And I think there's a level of personality that's going to come out with him, and I think it's going to be great for fans of the NFL.
In the Twitch chat, they want me to ask you, Matt Ryan, were you a Marianne's guy or a city or a city side?
City side.
I was equal opportunity. I'll be honest. I spent many hours in both establishments.
Depended if you needed food with your beer.
if you needed something to eat, you go over to City Side. But if you were there to, you know, to partake and to get after it, you went right into Marianne's.
Matt, you were one of the bigger names that took part in the Ice Bucket Challenge at the beginning 10 years ago. I can't believe it, but you were probably the biggest to kick things off. How did you get involved, and what's it like to see where it is now 10 years later?
Yeah, so I got involved because a buddy of mine, Pete Frates, tagged me on one of the challenges. And so I was like, all right, I got to do this, right? Pete was one of my friends from Boston College. He's actually one of the first guys I met on orientation, as an incoming freshman. And so knowing kind of his struggle with it and how he was fighting it and then being tagged in that way, it was like the perfect timing for something to explode, right? It was the beginning of, you know, kind of the honeymoon.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Joining us now from the WEEI studio at Fenway Park, where he is participating in the 10th year celebration of the Ice Bucket Challenge, it is Matt Ryan. Matt, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, guys. I like that little intro, too. The cold as ice.
Yes,
was perfect.
Sir. Matty Ice, how was the trip over from Logan? Did it take 4 hours?
It's not good. It's not good, guys. All this construction they've done for the last quarter of a century hasn't figured out how to get you back into the city in an easy fashion.
Well, you got a couple Eagles on the show in Curtis and Courtney and, of course, the great Jermaine Wiggins. And I think Wiggy wants to start this morning.
Yeah, Matt, my question is, and I think you're the perfect person to answer this, because we've been arguing about Drake May, and your situations are similar. Third overall pick, coming to a team that had only won 4 games, new coach. How important, and I talk about live reps, and Drake May's not getting many with the ones. How important was it for you to be able to get thrown in there with the ones and kind of basically learn on the job, where it seems like Drake May is sitting in the back waiting? I guess maybe take us down that road a little bit.
Yeah, I think every situation is different. But speaking from my own personal experience, you know, this is like the hot topic right now. Should we sit quarterbacks and let them develop, or go let them play and kind of figure it out on their own? I thought there was tremendous value to being thrown right into it and kind of figuring it out as you go. And I feel like most of my progression, you know, during training camp, heading into that first season was massive day to day, right? The things you were learning, the looks you were seeing, just the amount of reps I was getting. I thought that was huge for my growth and development. And then really, you know, even through that first half of the season, first 3 quarters of the season, my rookie year, you know, I was getting better week to week. And so I thought there was tremendous value to it. I think you could argue both sides of it for sure. I'm excited, though. I'm going out to check out practice tomorrow over in Foxborough and take a look. And so, you know, I'm excited to see it, you know, in person and what he can do. And just on top of that, all of the changes that are going on with the organization as well, for the first time in, you know, a quarter of a century that they've got all of the changes that they've had. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm a believer that you should play young guys. I think with the current climate of how contracts are set up and the salary cap, you know, you've got this 4 or 5 year window where essentially if you draft a young quarterback and you feel like he can play, you're playing with him for free. And so yeah. I think there's a ton of value to that. And I think, you know, you want to get as much experience for him as possible. And I think live reps are the best way to do it.
Speaking of the changes here, did it surprise you that Arthur Blank passed on Bill Belichick?
Well, I mean, when you think about the success Bill has had, I think – anybody passing on him, right, is surprising. I think that when you consider where Atlanta is at and what they want to do and kind of, you know, they've got their own quarterback, you know, situation as well with them signing Kirk Cousins and then drafting, you know, Michael Penix. I think they're, you know, they're really looking long term and trying to get stability in that organization, you know, for the next decade plus. And I think, you know, considering all of that, I wasn't necessarily shocked that they went in a direction with a younger coach.
Which do you think he will regret more, that decision or maybe a premature celebration on the sideline during a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think probably the premature celebration. We all could have used that game to end just a little bit sooner.
Wiggy was saying he thinks that you. I was saying you probably don't think about that game. Wiggy says he thinks you think about it every day. I don't.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was in Carolina when we lost the Super Bowl 38, and I think about that. And being up 28-3, that's completely different. It's like, oh yeah, this is odds in hand. So I know he's.
Do you still think about it?
Yeah. I mean, I come on anytime I'm in New England, I'm reminded of it. So I think about it more often when I'm up here, for sure. But it definitely is. I mean, I think as a player, right, you have all of the, you know, these memories. And for me, it's always the tough ones that you remember. The good times, you know, you kind of celebrate them and move on. But the hard ones are the ones that last. And so, you know, it's tough as part of the deal, part of you know, playing in the most competitive environment in the world, and certainly disappointing. I'm not sure I'm completely over it, but we'll get there hopefully someday.
Yeah.
Matt, there were rumors that the Falcons were all in on Bill, and then the Crafts reached out to them and maybe blackballed Bill, for lack of a better term. Do you have any inside scoop on if they were in on him and what may have conspired behind closed doors?
I don't have anything, you know, more than you guys, right? You know, I know there was interest. I know there was multiple interviews, and they certainly considered it. I don't know anything about, you know, the conversations with Mr. Kraft or anything like that. But I think ultimately the decision for the organization, at least how I understand it, is, you know, that they felt like they wanted to try and create, you know, a sustainable situation for the next decade plus, and they feel like they've done that with Raheem Morris.
Matt, I know we've been talking about the Falcons and everything, and you're in town for maybe the greatest Eagle, Pete Frates. BC football looks like it has a optimistic future with Bill O'Brien taking over. Have you spoken with Billy, and what are your thoughts on the hire for Boston College football?
Well, I love it, and I have. I was up for practice during the spring and got to speak with the team and kind of sit in meetings and talk with Bill. And I'm optimistic, too. I think, you know, Boston College is – listen, the landscape of college football has changed so much since I played at BC. And it's a different environment that you're competing in. But I've always felt like BC – is a unique place, and it requires people that know how it operates. And I think Bill, being from the area, St. John's Prep, you know, alum and a guy that knows this area, wants to be here, wants to be in this area. I think it's huge. And then you look at, you know, his track record as a coach, right? And where he's been, the stops along the way, whether it's, you know, his time spent in New England in the NFL, whether it's his time as a head coach in major college football at Penn State or in the NFL with Houston, and time spent at Alabama. I think all of these things, you know, seeing it, you know, done different ways is really going to benefit him. And I think his tie to the area, his ability to recruit this area, keep, you know, the best players in New England, keep them here in New England, and then go, you know, find a way like they did with me to find kids from Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Ohio. That was kind of always the blueprint for our success at BC, and I think Bill's going to get back to that.
Are you, when you're at the age you're at, I'm at the age I'm at, which is 57, you look at Aaron Rodgers, are you surprised that he's still doing it?
I'm not surprised, you know, knowing what kind of player he is and just, you know, I think a lot of times the narrative gets skewed with him, right? But he takes such incredible care of his body, of his mind. I mean, he does it his way for sure, but he's found a way to do it that works for him, and it doesn't surprise me. I played against that guy enough to never discount or never count him out. And so there are mornings where I wake up. I'm only 39, not 57, but, you know, mornings I wake up and I'm like, man, I can't believe he is still doing it. But it's definitely impressive. I'm like anybody. I mean, you know, excited to see what this Jets team is going to be. I mean, you guys know it being in the AFC East. It's going to be interesting. That defense was really good last year. The offense was inept. But I think when you add Aaron to the mix and what he can do, I think that's a scary team in the AFC East.
You made a successful transition to television with CBS. How do you think Tom Brady will do?
I think Tom will do great. I really do. I think, you know, given his knowledge, which is second to none, I mean, he's got incredible insight. I also think he's a guy that whatever it is he's going to do, he's going to put his complete effort behind it, and he's going to be incredibly well prepared. And so, like everybody else, I'm looking forward to kind of hearing, you know, what he has to say, how he's going to commentate games. I think he's going to learn a ton, you know, in that first year. I think, you know, myself doing it last year, calling games, the growth from the beginning of the year to the end of the year is significant. Really learning the technical side of it, to me, was the hardest part, right? And kind of figuring out how to get in and out, listen to the producer, understand camera angles, what plays well for viewers with different camera angles, and really learning how to drive that, to me, is the key, you know, as a color guy. And I think he'll pick that up quickly, but I think his insight will be awesome.
Players who do it sometimes say the hardest part for them was criticizing other guys. Was that hard for you?
I mean, I think there's a way to be critical without being malicious. You know, like, I often viewed it the same way I would view watching my own game tape, right? There's certain stuff that, you know, there are plays you should have made. And so I kind of viewed it that exact same way of, if I would critique myself this way, I'm comfortable critiquing, you know, someone else. I also think that it comes down to a level of preparation. Like, I'm not a massive fan of just making a hot take, you know, without having watched a ton of the film and what they're doing during the season and talk to them about some of the things. I think all of those things make it, you know, a little bit more easy to be critical when you need to be.
Speaking of guys joining TV, you surprised Bill Belichick is going to be on TV with Pat McAfee and with this Underdog network this fall.
Yeah, I think given how he was for so long, I think it's going to be fascinating to see kind of the other side of him. And that's part of it, right? Whether you're a head coach or you're a quarterback, when you're on the other side of the microphone, right, answering the questions, you've got to protect the organization. You've got to protect your teammates, your staff. You've got to be able to do those things. And Bill did it his way. But I think being able to get into the behind the scenes with Bill, right, what he was like in the locker room with those guys in team meetings, I think that's going to be fascinating to watch. And I think there's a level of personality that's going to come out with him. And I think it's going to be great for fans of the NFL.
In the Twitch chat, they want me to ask you, Matt Ryan, were you a Marianne's guy or a city or a city side?
City side.
I was equal opportunity. I'll be honest. I spent many hours in both establishments.
If you needed food with your beer.
Yeah. So, you know, if you needed something to eat, you go over to City Side. But if you were there to, you know, to partake and to get after it, you went right into Marianne's.
Matt, you were one of the bigger names that took part in the Ice Bucket Challenge at the beginning 10 years ago. I can't believe it, but you were probably the biggest to kick things off. How did you get involved, and what's it like to see where it is now 10 years later?
Yeah, so I got involved because a buddy of mine, Pete Frates, tagged me on one of the challenges. And so I was like, all right, I got to do this, right? Pete was one of my friends from Boston College. He's actually one of the first guys I met on orientation, you know, as an incoming freshman. And so knowing kind of his struggle with it and how he was fighting it and then being tagged in that way, it was like the perfect timing for something to explode, right? It was the beginning of, you know, kind of the honeymoon phase of social media, right? Where it still was fun. It was a little bit less malicious at that time, which was good. And so I got tagged, I did it, and then tagged some of my teammates and different guys, and it took off. But That was it. It was a friend who reached out to do it, and for me, it was like a no-brainer. It was fun. I was a training camp at the time at Flowery Branch, so it felt really good after one of the practices. It was probably something I was going to do anyhow. So to create awareness for ALS at the time and research and you know, not only, you know, have something fun for people to do, but really raise money. I thought that part was awesome. And to look at it, you know, 10 years later, I think it's really important to understand the amount of money that has been raised to find a cure. But with that, you know, people have started to live longer, struggling with the disease, and understanding the care portion of it for the families that are, you know, taking care of their loved ones. It's become incredibly expensive. And I think that's what the Frates Foundation is doing, right? Is finding ways to raise money to help the families that are going through it, because it's bankrupt a lot of people. And as people who are struggling with the disease continue to live longer, the expense is only going to go up. So I think it's a really cool two-pronged approach, right? We need to continue to raise money, you know, for the research, and they've done an incredible job of that. But we also have to find ways to support the families that are dealing with that. And I give a lot of credit to the Frates Foundation for doing that.
Speaking of social media, how long after the Super Bowl loss did it take you to start reading comments?
Yeah, I needed one of those darkness retreats or something like that afterwards. I didn't do it. I didn't know about it at the time. I wish I did.
Well, it's really cool that you're doing this, and it's a really important day over there. And I really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning, Matt Ryan. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me on.
How many wins for the Patriots?
Ooh, put me on the spot. I'm going to say
the over
six.
Four and a half is it? Oh, you're saying six?
I'm going to say six.
Okay. Wow. All right, Matt Ryan. Thanks for taking the time.
Let's be optimistic today. It's only August 1st.
Thank you. Go Eagles. All right. That is Matt Ryan.
Very
from Fenway
interesting.
Park. Yeah.
Very interesting.
So he's a stardom right away guy.
And I have a nugget.
Yeah,
he's still pissed at Arthur Blank for going on the sideline. Did you? That was not something he had to bite on. No. Premature celebration.
No, he did not have to.
He answered our question. He's a good guy, though. And
he's a great guy.
He answered the million-dollar question that we've been battling about so long around here.
Yeah,
it helped his growth tremendously getting in there and learning on the job. What are we doing, Mayo?
Yeah.
Put the kid in and let's ride.
All right. Gresham Foyer are next. We will be back tomorrow from the Tipsy Seagull in Fall River. A Flex Friday. Can't wait to see you all there at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you for your patronage.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.